Hello, this is Ivana.
This is Yao.
And you're listening to the podcast Life in Black and White.
And all the shades in between.
We share all things life, relationships, marriage, parenting, race, and much more. If you enjoy listening to us, then please follow or subscribe to this podcast. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook under Life in Black and White. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the next episode of the podcast, Life in Black and White. I'm so sorry. It's me again opening the episode because the last time we promised, or I promised, that Yao would open the next one. But it just, why didn't you explain to our listeners who were so keen to hear you opening the episode?
Because I think as a couple, we should both agree on these situations. I felt that you promised, but I never gave that promise online. So this time I give my promise that next time I'll open it up.
So I think you did, but yeah. It's a good thing we have a recording so we
can... yeah, refer back. Yeah, exactly. Uh-oh.
And see. Oh, nice. I love this podcast more and more. We have a proof.
Don't worry, I'll say podcast a little bit more this time.
So today we have a lovely guest here, a lovely and beautiful Sarah Wood. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Ivana. Hello, Yao.
So Sarah, introduce yourself. Please tell us about you, about your children.
Okay, gosh, it's funny that you put me on the spot. Okay, so I'm just like a 40-something mum. I have three kids, two boys and a girl. I don't know, I'm Scottish, if anyone's wondering what that strange accent is that's coming out of the podcast. I have three children by three fathers, so fathers in Scotland. So my second child, he is half Ghanaian and half Scottish-Irish. And my third child, my little girl, is also mixed race because her dad is half Sierra Leonean and half English. So yes, but probably outwardly to many people, she maybe doesn't look mixed race, but she is of mixed heritage too. Yeah.
So we want to discuss this in more detail. Like, we want to hear your experience because we shared our experience before. I know you wrote a beautiful poem on this subject. Yeah. So if we can start with that and then can elaborate. Yeah.
Well, I'll read you the poem and it probably leads into a few bits of discussion. I wrote this poem after my middle son, he experienced some quite horrible words said to him at school and I had to go to the school about it. So I thought, what can I do? I could get angry and upset about it, or I could channel that into something good. So I wrote a poem about it. So if you want, I'll read it to you. And then
please do, please.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Okay.
So it's called A Mother's Plea. I implore you, white people, talk to your children about race, about the richness of diversity, so my child does not have to face twice in one week being told, you're brown like poo, I hate brown people. Why does this shit never get old? Educate, do the work, be an ally, stop the hurt. Please, white people, talk to your kids. This may not affect you, but avoidance leads to ignorance and insults too. Where is he from? Is he adopted? Can he speak English? You can't be his mum. He's a different race, all said to his face. Educate, do the work, be an ally, stop the hurt. All said in front of my son, bit by bit, damage will be done. The health visitor calling him a hybrid. Racism starting only a few days after birth. Education, allyship, know its worth. Please, white people, learn for yourself. The history, the brutality, the contribution, the beauty. Then discuss. The change needs to start with us, white people. Educate, do the work, be an ally, stop the hurt. He is only 7. How much more before he is grown? 2023, yet we are still here. Two racist insults in a week. What lies ahead is what I fear. Please, white people, educate, do the work, Be an ally. Stop my child's hurt. Please, please, white people.
Oh my God. I think this is going to be a long episode. Do you know what? I'm
really
raging.
Powerful. It's really
I'm
powerful.
Raging and I want to cry at the same time.
Listen, these things, we know, you guys, you're living through it and you probably have your examples, but it happened three different occasions, three different times. Different children saying to my son, "You're brown like poo." And he came home and he told me. And you know, it's not the children's fault. They don't know what they're saying is racist. They
of
don't
course.
Know that. But if I heard, because the school will have told the parents of those children, if I'd heard my son or daughter had said that to someone, I would have reached out. Do you know what I mean? Old school, reach out and say, "Listen, I'm sorry, Johnny said this," or whatever. But no, not one parent reached out when that happened. And and the school, I talked to the school about it. Eventually, after the third time, we went in to talk to the school about it and we had a meeting with the school. And they said some ignorant things, actually. There's a lot of education that needs to happen. So that's the main kind of message that I hope comes across in my poem is, it's just about learning for yourself these things, or just being open to have conversations. We're not always going to say the right thing. We're not always going to know about these things. You know, the school said the wrong things to us, but it's because if you're not seeing this and you're not educating yourself on these things and you're not dealing with it, maybe on a, you know, a daily basis or even a yearly basis, then you don't know what to say, you know, and it's just about that. The poem is just about being open, educating yourself, you know, the change needs to happen with white people. They, you know, we need to get better at educating ourselves on these things and being active allies and kind of, you know, unlearning, because all the stuff we've learned through history is, it's, you know, it's an unlearning that needs to happen. The history books have been written by the victors, you know, and we need to, I don't know, you know, I'm muddling up my words because I feel passionate about these things. You know,
do you know what, we're gonna talk about the education and what we need to do in a minute, but I would like to go back to what you said about the school. You mentioned that they said something ignorant back. Do you want to?
Yeah.
You don't have to, but
yeah.
Would you like to share
no,
what exactly?
I don't mind. I'm not naming the school or anything. But so my partner and I challenged it because my partner experienced racism growing up. And, you know, he was very much, we need to tackle this now. We need to speak to the school because I don't want this to be my son's experience. So I want the school to be on it. And if my son experiences things, they tackle it effectively, you know, so it doesn't become an issue and it doesn't become his experience. I want his experience at school to be positive.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time when this happened, he was the only brown kid in his class. So he's, when someone says that to him, he's got to find the strength. And thankfully, he has got so much confidence in himself, and I've raised him to know about his dual heritage, and he's proud, and so proud, quite rightly, of who he is, that he found the strength to be like, "What are you saying? Go away," you know. But that needs to come from a strong sense of identity, and the school need to help with that. They need to help teach people about diversity, etc., because we can't rely that people get this in the home. Yes, some people will, but some people won't be talking about these things in the home. So that's why it's so important that the school celebrates diversity, you know, has representation in the books that it uses or the resources, etc. So anyway, we went into the school to talk about this. A very well-meaning deputy head teacher met us. And she said to us, "Oh, don't worry, I'm reassuring you, I've dealt with this." And I said, "Oh, can I ask, how did you deal with it?" "Well, I took the child that said it aside and I said to him, 'How would you feel if someone said to you, you're white like poo?' So she actually thought this was a way to deal with the situation. And I was kind of flabbergasted, you know, at the time. I was really flabbergasted. And I said, right, where are you going with this? And she said, you know, and I said to him, and he looked at me and he said, well, I can't be white like poo because poo is brown. And she said, ah, but bird poo isn't. And she actually thought this was a way to tackle the situation. And she, and I looked at her and I said, look, you're very well meaning here. I said, but you've missed the point entirely. I said, you've reduced it down to almost a it was a comical level. I said to her, you need to talk about these things. You need to say to the child, you're not, what you're saying, you're not meaning to be racist, but what you said was a racist thing. And it's, you need to call it for what it is. Why are we so afraid of speaking and dealing with these things? And I said, what you've done, you can never compare that white child's experience to my child's experience. I said, when you said that to that child, he can look behind his shoulder and he's got another 28 kids in the class that look like him. So when you say someone says you're white like poo, he can laugh it off and say, of course I'm not. What are you talking about? I said, when someone says it to my son, there's no one else in the class that looks like him. So he's got to find the strength himself to laugh it off and to brush it off. I said, you can never compare that child's experience to my child's experience. And by you doing that, you're not dealing with it. You need to call it out for what it is. I said, I'm sorry, I think you need anti-racism training.
But you know the funny thing,
you know,
I don't blame the teacher at all.
No.
Because if I hadn't had mixed race children, maybe I would have said something similar. Because if you're not living in that world, you have no idea
about these things.
So that's, but how can they educate if they are not educated themselves?
But in 2023, they should be, especially if they're an educator.
Yeah, of course, 100%.
They go and do some anti-racism training, in my view.
Yeah.
And I basically told her that day. She was quite a well-meaning woman, but I had to tell her what racism was. You know, it's not just people, we know these things, it's not just people calling names, but it's all the structures, the place, it's all the systemic stuff, the place that it comes from that then generates behaviors that people are not even aware they have.
It takes years though before they comprehend. What's going on in your head when you listen into this?
It's just, it's sad because, you know that kids sometimes they don't get what they're saying. They don't understand the impact and stuff of what they're saying. They may feel it's like some kind of a joke and things, but it does have impact. It absolutely does. It's funny because Mac was in a similar situation to I was when I was growing up, in terms of my schooling from age of 12 onwards was primarily a white school. And you know, there was a lot of little digs here and things and stuff that happened. I gave as good as I got and things. Obviously, you learn to kind of roll with the punches and stuff sometimes.
Yeah, like an armor type thing.
Yeah, you know,
you
had to become resilient to certain things and stuff that was said. Otherwise, it would get to you. And, you know, these are the things that people don't always kind of realize. You still take some of those things on with you. You know, you take things on because you suddenly start expecting that certain things like that could happen as you go on. And it's what you both said about the teacher. I really do appreciate that. You know, with yourself and Tom, like Ivana and myself and things, we've brought our children into a predominantly white area, and we get that.
That's it. Not very diverse.
And you know, I totally appreciate that they may not have experience and stuff of this, but it's always there's no way that you could turn around and say to me that a teacher in this day and age shouldn't have some level of training, even if they're out of their depth slightly, because they're actually in that experience as it's happening. You know, so certain things you can say and you don't mean to say it, but you're meant, like you said, I can totally understand that she probably absolutely meant well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's the worst thing.
Yeah, that's she meant well. And, you know, she was quite proud to tell me that this is how she handled it. And both Tom and I looked at each other and exchanged glances like, oh my God, you know, not a way to deal with this. Like, you can't compare experience that way. It's just not.
I think the good thing is that the more white people raise Black children, I think we are the ones who can help the world and change the world, because we understand both sides now, like how naive we were and how it actually is.
It's that continuous open talking. So the fact that, you know, Mac went through that is, you know, it's not great at all. And like you said, his confidence around it, maybe kind of shook for a little bit, but if he's confident in himself, that resilience breeds character and stuff. You don't want that to breed his character, but it gives him some level. But the talking like this conversations and stuff that, you know, you may not necessarily have, and hopefully people listening to this, the conversations that people are hearing from parents who are experiencing this, because some people will turn around and say, well, you know, I had some level of not abuse. I don't want to use too strong a word and stuff around it, but I had some level of abuse when you're growing up. It didn't affect me, but it's different. It's different from a lot of different angles and stuff. But the
talking... Just explain for people who don't understand. We should explain how is it different.
What do you mean? How is it different? Well, it's different for anybody. Like if you say you go in and you're a certain shape or certain size, and somebody gets teased, or I don't want to say abused, because I feel that's a bit too much of a harsh word, but they get continuously, that leads on to trauma and how you look at yourself and stuff. Some people may do something about that going forward, but that trauma will predominantly stay with that person and stuff, right? And you've got different variants and stuff of that. But like you say, Mac is in a situation where, you know, if he's the only mixed race child and stuff there, heritage,
and he was, there's, it's the class is a little bit more diverse now. I think there's like two more kids, but back then he was the only one in the class. So you've got to come from a place of strength if you're hearing comments like that, to kind of brush them off and get on, you know.
While we are on the subject, I think that what Yao, you're saying, it's different when someone comments on your shape or someone comments on who you are.
There's a lot of differences. There's a lot of differences.
So that's what makes it different, I think.
Okay. Go on, Sarah. Sorry.
No, I agree. And it's hard, you know, because it's hard when people, like, you're in your little bubble, like, we've got our families, we love our families, you're out and about, you're minding your own business, and you don't know when it's going to happen, but it can happen. And you've got to arm your children to deal with it. And that's the reality, Ivana, is what I would say.
Yeah.
Is that you have to have conversations with your kids because of what can happen. So for example, that poem I wrote about other kind of examples of things that were said to Mac. We were sitting with the baby, so this was recent as well, and I was breastfeeding the baby, and we were sitting, Cormac had just finished his swimming lesson, I was breastfeeding the baby, minding our own business, and there was a girl waiting for our dad who was playing football. We were at a leisure centre, and she just came up and started talking to us. Now, she looked at Cormac, looked at me, and she was like, is that your child? And I was like, yeah. And she said it in such a, like, she was older. She was about 11, a kind of stroppy preteen, just to paint you a picture. And she said, well, he can't be your son. And I said, well, what do you mean he can't be my son? Of course he's my son. And she's like, but he's a different race. And that was what she said. And it was like, I wasn't prepared for it to come out. And it just stung because I could see his little face. That hurt, you know? And I was like, well, I thought, right, okay, I'm going to try and educate this young girl, because her dad was nowhere to be seen. And I said, well, of course he's my son. I says, you know, I'm white, his dad's black, so if you put the two of us together, then you get Cormac, don't you, Cormac? And he's like, yeah, nodding, you know. And the girl, yeah. I thought I can try and educate her a little bit here, because maybe she's just not been exposed to different families, or she also commented on my breastfeeding and told me it was absolutely disgusting. Which also, like, shocked
at that age, yeah, she's allowed.
I was like, oh my God, you know, because she'd obviously never seen that before too. So I tried to like educate her there too. But when her dad came out, this is the key part. When her dad came out from playing football, I tried to reach out to him and I said, oh, listen, is this your daughter? And I won't say her name. And he said, yeah, she'd been waiting on him. He'd been playing football for a while. And I said, oh, you should hear the things that she's been saying. And I wanted to tell him, you know, because I wanted to tell him so he knew, so he could maybe talk to her about these things. And he just laughed and said, oh, I can only imagine. And he just didn't want to know. And that was sad for me, because I thought that was an opportunity for him.
But I love it that you took the time and educated her, because because so many people don't do this. They think something, but if we don't speak out, how can we expect the change? Yes, so that's amazing that you did that.
I appreciate that. It's a difficult one, because kids, you know, kids sometimes say some random things and stuff.
Yeah, they
do. It's not a great experience and stuff to have. You know, you could come across it. They are kids, and it's not greatest. But like you said, it's, if the kids aren't getting it, if kids aren't having, you know, the experience or having those conversations with, you know, this, and this is what you were saying before about when is it going to happen again? It's like you're on your tippy toes, kind of waiting for something else to kind of happen. You know, you could be out in the street, you can be in shopping, you know, you could be doing anything and stuff, and this could happen to Cormac.
And so after that, I had to then, if you like, pick up the pieces. So I sat with Cormac and I said, listen, are you all right? And you know, and I had a bit of, I said, you know, that girl, she's a nice girl. She just doesn't know anyone, you know, who has a family that looks like ours. I had to do a bit of the picking up pieces, because I felt like I needed to talk to him about it to check he was okay. And also, actually, I know it sounds funny, but the breastfeeding point too, because that's what we do, it's natural. And for someone to call it out and go, oh, that's horrible, I had to say to him, no, it's not. It's people's choices, and it's just the way different people do things. And some people are not exposed to way people bring up children in a different way, and you know, so we had a bit of a conversation. But you have to do that sometimes, and like you say, you never know, and you know, majority wise, you go through life and you have nothing said, but it's just the odd little occasion where, and it stings because you're not expecting it. Do you know what I mean? You're like, oh, there it is again. Oh, geez, you've got to pick up the pieces and have a bit of a conversation, but. The work is, I think the reality is, if you have, like you say, children of mixed, then you have a duty to educate them, educate yourself, so that you...
100%, yeah.
You know, yeah, so you're prepared.
Sarah, go on.
No, go on, Ivana.
Just wanted to ask, in your poem you mentioned... I hope I misheard, but did your health visitor called?
Yes, yeah.
A hybrid?
Yeah, so he was only 3 days old, and my ex-partner and I, we were pretty shocked by it. Yeah, she came round. So I put that in the poem, because these are all true experiences, all things that have been said.
But in what context did she say that?
We were talking, she came round, I think it was like, we'd just got out of the hospital. So it's, you know, these home visits that happen when you come out of the hospital. And I think it was when she was doing the heel prick test. I don't know if you remember that. You get like a test done to check for, sickle cell disease.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what she was saying, but she said it, and we thought we'd misheard at first, but she says, oh, you know, with these hybrid babies. And we looked at each other and we both like shot each other a glance, and we thought, surely we didn't hear that. And she said, she went on to say it about two or three more times. Yeah, this is like a trained health professional. And the thing is, we were so tired, so exhausted. I mean, you've not met Martin, but you will. He's lovely. And we were both equally shocked and tired. And normally,
you would say something.
We were just so like,
you're so shocked that you have,
we were so shocked and we were so tired, and in the situation that you're in and you're relying on this person to give you information, you know, it's like a power relationship, isn't it, really? And I wish we had, you know, it's something that I wish I'd followed up and said to her, listen, don't use that word, because it's education, isn't it? So it's like, next time she goes to a house that maybe has mixed heritage children, that she doesn't use that, but
my blood's boiling now.
Yeah, I know, it's, you know, he's not a car. We both, like, after she left, the first thing we said to each other was, what the hell, you know? What did we just hear? But, you know, that's another thing that I guess is probably quite good to touch on, is It's these kind of systemic structures that, you know, I know friends who their children are mixed race, and they've been referred to jaundice clinics when their kids don't have jaundice. In fact, one time we were going along when Cormac was going to get a checkup when he was first born, and the lady asked us if he had jaundice, and we were like, no, he's just the way he's supposed to look. So it's that kind of thing, and it probably doesn't happen now in like communities where there's more diversity. But certainly when you're in communities that has less diversity, then some of the professionals, the way certain conditions present themselves on black skin is different to the way it presents on white skin, and there can be some of these miseducations and things. I know, like, for Nuala, for example, my youngest, we got referred, and I don't know if this happened to you guys, so it's probably we got referred to a specialist for her eyes, because when she was born her eyes were so dark. I mean, they weren't blue, they were really dark. And she didn't respond to the light test that they do, the reflex test that they do. And, you know, that's a test that's performed on every baby, but in the kind of majority population, white population in this part of the world, eyes respond in a certain way, and hers didn't respond in a certain way. So we were referred to a specialist, and we had to wait 6 weeks, you know, to look. And my brother, who has mixed Malaysian children, had the same thing happen twice with both his children. So he said to me, he reassured me and said, oh, it's just because she's mixed. Honestly, don't worry about it. And so I didn't worry about it. And then when the appointment came around, the doctor, the eye doctor, he was lovely. He reassured me, and he was like, our eyes are perfectly fine. Oh, God, you're another one. He said, it's because the training manuals are written by white people. And he was as blunt as that, you know. So there are things that need to change. Even in this day and age, there are things that need to change that, you know, it's diversity, it's awareness, it's education, it's, you know.
And it's positive that, you know, highlighting it and, we're not, it's not blame, it's not like, oh
no, blame, not at all. No, it's just, it's like everything, that it's education, it's discussion, like what you guys are doing, fantastic, you know, but it's you've got to discuss these things for them to change. It's like, you've got to put it out there for people to be aware of it, to then go, oh, right, okay, we need to tackle that, we need to change that.
But many people don't understand as well as myself once that because sometimes people are like, oh, I don't care what race you are, what color you are, but that's not helpful as well, because
no,
you need to acknowledge the race.
It shuts down the conversation, Ivana, doesn't it? It's mm-hmm, almost like, exactly. Why are you making a big deal out of this? We're not making a big deal out of it. We're just saying, you know, let's, and why shouldn't we make a big deal out of it anyway? I'm done apologizing.
Yeah.
If there's things that need to change, you need to talk about them, and we need to change them, because God, we've been talking about these things for hundreds of years and not enough action has happened. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's still so much that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, do you also think or feel like you were, like I said that in previous episodes, mm-hmm. that I feel like I was so naive before I had mixed race children and before I met you? Do you feel the same, that you're?
Oh my God, I'm a diehard romantic. I'm a wee softie, and I'm an idealist. And so, like, age 16 me thought the world now in 2024 would be so much different to the world really is. I'm not saying the world's awful. I love the world, you know, like I love people and more good in the world than there's bad.
Yes.
But I thought race equality and various things that I'm passionate about would be more advanced than they are. And yes, I agree with you. Like, before I ventured into, like you say, being a mum to mixed race children, I didn't think these sorts of things would be said. You know, it flabbergasts me, some of the idiocy, some daft things that people say without thinking. Like, I put it in the poem again, and another instance was, I took my wee son to a taekwondo class to try out, and he is an introvert, right? So that's a whole other podcast, Ivana, but I've had to learn because I'm an extrovert. And so my son's an introvert, and so I've had to learn, you know, that he responds differently to things the way that I would respond. So we were at this class, and the more that he's put on show, the more he goes into himself. So the teacher was bringing him to the front of the class to show him how to do the taekwondo. It was like a taster session, and he just froze. He hated it. He hates being put at the front of anything, you know. If he's at the back of the class and he's quietly been asked to get on with it and follow the steps, he would be fine with that. But as soon as he's moved to the front, he just froze. Anyway, the point of this is, I'm very Scottish, as you can hear. I spoke when I went into the class, chatting away. And when he froze, and the more he froze and the more he wouldn't do things, there was like an older guy. I'm saying older guy. He was in his 50s, right? So whatever, if that's old or young or whatever you judge. He turned around and said, what's wrong with him? Is he okay? And then he started making a big deal of it. And he was like, does he speak English? Can he understand English? And I just looked at him and I was like, I gave him a frown. Now, I wish I'd said something. This is a regret in my life, because the rest of the class there heard him say this. No one challenged. And I left there so annoyed at myself that I didn't say, of course he speaks English. What do you mean? Why would you think he doesn't speak English? Why would you think he doesn't understand English?
Mm-hmm.
Only because of the color of his skin, he said that 100%, because he heard me, Scottish mom, as soon as we walked in. Why would he be saying that, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't reflect it on himself. So I didn't say, I kind of excused it. I was like, of course he does, you know, like this. And I should have said, yes, he does. Why would you think he didn't? So that I could reflect on him, so that he could.
I think you did say that. You did say that.
Yeah.
Between the lines, you did say that.
But it's hard in the moment. You know, we've probably all been there. There's probably things you wish you'd said. And
And
you can, of course,
you know, you pick and choose battles and things as well, you know. But I guess the kind of message I was trying to put across in my poem is, there's certain times where probably it is good to speak up, and it's good to speak up. Definitely, you know, the allyship, the kind of, if you see an injustice, it doesn't be happening to you, but rather than like just letting it slide, why not actually say, why do
sharing stories help?
Sharing stories
sharing stories, but... because if someone, the way I really got it, what it's all about, it wasn't Yao trying to convince me. It was the stories he was telling, stories I saw around me, and that's what actually opened my eyes. Yeah. So I think sharing the stories can make a difference rather than us trying to educate them, like, just,
you bring it to life for people. I totally
agree. Yes.
You've got all the theory books and things. You can read it. And, you know, I definitely think it's good to do that because history is written by the victors, as I said. So it is good to unlearn
to have that.
You know, because race is a social construct. There is no such thing. You know, we're all one race. We're all human. Mm. But it was socially constructed as a means to basically control people and to do horrible things to people. And that's the way I explain racism to Cormac. Mm. I'll say to him, some people are racist. You know, it's not a nice way to be. It's a legacy from basically days of old of people trying to steal riches from other people. So they convince people that other people were not as good as them. It is not, it's got no place in a modern world. And if you ever feel that anyone's ever doing that to you, you'd be proud of who you are and you put them right, you know, and you tell mommy, a teacher, etc. You've got to kind of break it down into here, but you have to have these conversations. And it was like my friend, a Black American guy at my work, he said to me, Sarah, you have to have this conversation with your son because it is going to happen. And, you know, you need to talk to him about these things. And it broke my heart to do that, you know, to explain. Because like you say, I always thought we'd be living in a world with no racism, you know, just everyone just kind of utopia, everyone getting on. And unfortunately,
some people live in that world.
Well, that's it. Because I think as well, and I think that's, to answer your question, and sorry, we're going around a bit, but to answer your question from earlier around, I think a lot of white people, they do live in a bubble because if you're switched on, you're right on and, you know, you expect that everyone else is the same and they're not. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes in social media, if you're like, say you're a lefty or liberal and you look up all these things, you're only getting channeled the news that people that you're interested in. So you're therefore not seeing a lot of the kind of xenophobia, the Islamophobia, a lot of the really hateful things that are going on out there. So therefore you think it doesn't exist. You think, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And do you feel the same, Sarah? I feel like I only realized I'm a white race after I met Yao. I don't know if that makes sense, but I didn't really ever think about race as such, like I'm some race. I don't know if that makes sense, but now I understand actually I'm a white race. Does that make sense? I don't know.
I know what you're saying. Like it's horrible. It's
I know. It's like to me it doesn't matter yet. We all have some color. I didn't see race as a thing. Yeah.
No.
That has changed as well with Yao and the boys, of course.
Yeah, of course. It's complex. All of it is really complex. And Yao was saying too, like depending on where you live as well. So if you live in a really diverse place, that definitely helps, you know. My friend is Jamaican and she talks about Jamaica. I mean, it sounds amazing. And she's like, you know, it's a melting pot. No one cares.
Yeah.
You know, if you live in London, I'm sure as well, there's so many different cultures. There's so much celebration. But it's where there's less diversity, there's less awareness. And there can sometimes be that othering going on, which isn't good.
But I would say that it happens everywhere. It doesn't matter.
It does, I would imagine. Yeah.
And sometimes people think that in diverse cities like London, you can't face racism, but this is a myth as well, one of the myths. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I remember once when I was really, I felt really depressed about this whole racism, when I really understood what it's about, what can happen to them. I don't want to be saying it's definitely going to happen, but it is very likely. But once you realize that as a mom, it's awful, no? especially if you didn't grow up with it. So it's like a huge new thing, a huge shock.
Well, that's it.
But I said to Yao, let's just move to Africa so we don't have to face the racism. And Yao said to me, it's there as well. I was like, what?
Oh,
what
everywhere.
The hell?
Everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately. But like you said, the only thing we can do is to make sure they are confident and strong enough in themselves.
Confident,
because what else?
Confident.
And they can change the world. These kids.
Yeah.
These hybrid kids, as your husband said. They are the future. So, yeah.
They are. But we can also help as well in the here and now. And it's, you know, such as what you're doing with the podcast.
100%,
and,
yeah.
You know, that was my little chip in, putting my chip in with the poem and just to kind of get people talking and thinking about these things. And just, you know, it's if you, you can challenge things. So,
yeah.
But do it, you know, do it in a way that it's accessible. So like I say, with that girl, I try to bring it down to her level and you can do it where you're not trying to antagonize people, but you definitely need to challenge it. You know, it's, I'm not one that believes in just letting things slide. I think you have to stand up for what's right, basically.
Yeah. If we don't, then who will? Yao, from your perspective, yeah?
Yeah.
How is it different? You having the kids with me, white person, or you having kids with a black person? How would that be different?
Chicken and egg, isn't it? How do you know until you've gone through that experience?
No, but do you think it helps them in a way to be more resilient or to have different views? Or
it's not about the resilience. It's not about whether
would they have it different if they were black because now they're mixed race? Would that have been different then?
No. It's not about that. It's the knowledge that people need to kind of get their heads around. Mm-hmm. If and I'm taking a leap of faith and stuff on this, that if anybody had a child and their child is getting bullied or, you know, feeling in such a bad way for anything, they would be fuming. They would be fuming. Mm-hmm. They'd be upset the fact that their child is going through anything. Mm-hmm. So it's about people understanding and learning from it. And I mean, across the board, learning from how we've got to make sure that we let our children know and make sure our children understand there are certain things that you can and can't do. We've got to make sure that our children no, as you've both said, is you've got to be confident in yourselves to understand that, you know, you're going to come across people that just aren't going to like you because of whether it's, you know,
they're
body shaming or you're sorry.
People that say bad things to you are unhappy people. That's what I tell the kids. Except, I'm like, if they're commenting on your appearance or they're commenting on, I said, they're not happy in themselves. So
they're deflecting, aren't they? They deflect
happy,
in.
Absolutely. Because if you're a happy person, you're too busy being happy and smiling to even,
worry
you know,
about.
Want to worry about someone else, like to put someone else out. You don't think it. And I raise my kids and I say, if you've not got something good to say, don't say anything at all. And so I like them. I don't hear the boys. They never really kind of bitch about other people. I don't like that, you know. And and so if they're hearing that from other people, you just look at them. I say to them, you just look at them and you just, like, water just bounces off you. You just don't pay any heed to it because you know who you are. You know you're gorgeous. You know you're amazing. Mm. You've got so much going for yourself. You've got to raise confidence, kids. And when your kids are confident and so full of, like, not full of themselves, sorry, but you know what I mean?
No, confidence.
Confident, and they're sure of who they are and they're so proud of who they are. Like my son, he is so proud to be, he's always like, I'm an African boy, but he's also proud to be Scottish Irish too. We celebrate everything in our house. We celebrate Rabbi Burns Day. I've got a poem about Rabbi Burns up my sleeve, you know. I've got we celebrate that, and we celebrate St. Patrick's Day because I'm part Irish, and and then we also have Ghana Independence Day as well. So he knows he's well rounded, and I think that's what's important for our kids too. And I know you guys do that.
Know your culture.
Raising your kids, know your cultures, know who you are, be proud of who you are, and no one. And then that's your like bulletproof vest. Yeah. If someone says something to you, really.
Oh, that's Yao's line.
You know what I mean?
I love that you said that. That's your line.
Do you say that?
Really? You have nothing better to say. That's all you got. Yeah.
I don't really.
It's all in that one word. Yeah. But you know what? I think they'll be even more proud of who they are when they're teenagers and they have all that attention from girls because of how they look. That's
good looking boys.
As long as they've got each other. I mean, like Cormac.
In our case,
boys.
Yeah.
But no, I just mean
they're friends.
You know,
friends.
Yeah, they're friends. You know, as they grow older, they'll kind of interact. But I just hope if people are listening to this, I know people will be talking to their kids. I think we have more. And when you're saying, is it better? I think people do talk a lot more. But we just need to make sure that we don't stop and we educate ourselves a bit more and talk a bit more. We have to.
100%. Yeah. We're not stopping. We're not going anywhere with this podcast.
No.
So it's all good.
You're doing a great thing, guys. You know, it's like that's what's key to all of this is just talking because everyone has so much more in common than they do.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's what's key is when you talk, you realize, and it's like all these silly things that are constructs and different. Everyone's just the same underneath it all, you know, like everyone's just trying to get through this thing called life. That sounds like, I think that's a great song, isn't it? I'm passionate about making the world better. And, you know, in 2024, just, I didn't think these things would even be issues, you know, just like what you were saying, Ivana. So let's just keep talking so that they no longer are issues in the future, you know?
Exactly. This is the perfect words to finish this
one
episode
love,
with.
Basically.
One love.
One love, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get me started. Next time I'll start singing Bob.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Maybe I'll start. No, I'm not going to promise that because then next time you've got this recording and you'll expect me to start singing Bob to start this off. No, I'll just say hi to everybody.
I'll definitely do that. I'm happy to
join in on that. Oh, brilliant.
Okay, thank you so much, Sarah, for being here today. We had an amazing time with you. Thank you so much for being so open and honest. It's
the only
amazing way
to be, isn't it? We need to
absolutely
just open up about these things, and it's the only way to make
a difference. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we can only start from ourselves. So you're doing an amazing job. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, and thanks, guys, for having me. It's been fun. So
no, it's been a pleasure. Absolutely.
Next time as well.
Next.
So hopefully next year we meet up, and the world will be already a better place thanks to us. Maybe.
Yeah.
Even hopefully, but definitely better. Thank you so much, and see you in 2 weeks.
Bye. Take care, everybody.
See
thanks for listening
guys
to our podcast.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, it will mean the world if you leave us a review. Thank you so much.